bless you. God bless you, all of you. Here this evening, by the grace of God, we gather together one final evening here tonight. It's an honor to come to worship the Lord tonight, to stand between you and God, to represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We come in fear and trembling this evening because without the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, we would not be here tonight. And I just appreciate so much my brother Dave and his family and all the hard work that they have done. They were thanking a lot of people here tonight, and we thank all of you. But their heart of generosity, their heart of love, and night after night, day after day, to the glory of God. And I was sharing with him today, he preached the word this evening. I would be absolutely delighted to be here and be his biggest cheerleader here tonight, and spiritual cheerleader here tonight, and pray for him as he shares the word of God. But I covet your prayers as we share here tonight. And little something I'm going to read here this evening. You know, humor is human. I don't know if that's the way to say. But some wonder about, you know, getting along and working together in ministry and so forth. And we have pastors here this evening. A number of pastors that we see here tonight and work together with different pastors and so forth. And this reading I thought I'd just share because it was kind of humorous, but maybe not so. But maybe there's too much reality to it. But it says here, talking about the feud. There was a feud between the preacher and the song leader at the Hicksville Church of Christ. It seems the first hint of trouble came when the preacher preached on dedicating yourself to serving the Lord, to service. And when he shared that, the song leader led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Trying to believe it was a coincidence, the preacher put the incident behind him. Next Sunday, he preached on giving. Afterward, the congregation squirmed when the song leader led them in the hymn, "Jesus Paid It All." By this time, the preacher was losing his temper. Sunday morning attendance grew as the tension built between the two. A large crowd showed up the next week to hear the preacher preach on the sin of gossiping. Would you believe, following the sermon, the song leader led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." There seemed to be no turning back. The following Sunday, the preacher told the congregation that unless something changed, he was considering resignation. The entire church gasped when the song leader led them in the song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" Truthfully, no one was surprised when the preacher resigned a week later, explaining that Jesus had led him there and Jesus was leading him away. The song leader could not resist, and he led the song, "Oh, What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Anyhow, I hope that is not something that is going on between us in our churches and with one another. The spirit of unity. Where there's a spirit of unity, God, in Psalm 133, it says God does what? He commands the blessing. He commands the blessing. Message tonight, God is laying on my heart, are four questions. And Derek was up, asked me if I want the clicker. I'm not used to clicking anything, hardly. But Dave, he's used to the clicker and the PowerPoints. And these gentlemen in the back here and trying to figure out if they're going to do it or I. There's a couple PowerPoints this evening. And it will show along the way. But if you would turn with me to Psalm 137. Psalm 137, if you would do that with me here this evening. Psalm 137. Let me just say, as you're turning to Psalm 137, how many have a Bible? Lift up your Bible tonight. Bibles all over. That is so true, what Jesse was saying and so forth. We're so blessed that we have Bibles, even one Bible. But the thing is, we have usually many Bibles. But I'm going to, before I share this scripture, just say tonight that I believe that the hope of America, I know the hope of America. It does not lie within the halls of government, but it lies with the heart of spirit-filled believers who are gripped by the holy fear of God. I believe that this country lies within visionaries and dreamers whose faith moves the heart of God. And we've seen that throughout this past couple of weeks, people who are coming and saying, yes, Lord, I want to be in the will of God, pledging allegiance to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart here this evening. But tonight, there are four questions that we would like to ask ourselves. Maybe there'll be a category tonight you find yourself in, that you're saying, this is where I am here tonight. But here we'd like to read in Psalm 137, and where the Jews had been in captivity by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a what? Strange land. These people had encountered something never encountered before. They go on in verse 5 and say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Jerusalem could be another version of heaven, but David was remembering Zion. He longed to live in the homeland once again. The people were weeping. The Jews had been taken from Babylon against their will. They dreamed and prayed for the day when they could return home again. These people were encountering something they had never encountered before. They said, we're going to hang our harps upon the willows. It's not used to go on anymore. They had quit dreaming and quit visioning. Maybe there's some tonight that you have quit visioning and dreaming. Let me share with you this evening, the greatest visionary in the whole world is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him a clap offering of praise tonight. He alone is worthy. He's the greatest visionary. Before we did anything, he did everything. Let me say it again. Before we did anything, he did everything. He's the one that organized all the missions, all the churches. Every mission that is going on in the world was not the thoughts of man. It was the thoughts of God. God thought of everything. It's that man got a hold of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit came into man, and man said, yes, Lord. There's nothing new under the sun that God did not think of. Amen. But it's faithful men and women that are obedient to the Holy Spirit that are saying, I'm hearing the voice of God. Friend, there's a calling on your life and mine. Every one of us, there's a calling. There's a saying I saw years ago that said, where there's a need, there's a calling. If you see the need, God may be calling you. Think about it tonight. Are there needs that we see? But we say, I hope somebody else is able to meet that need. But will we someday be responsible? God said, I showed you the need. I showed you where it was, but you thought somebody else could do it better than I. Visualizing. When we vision, we're thinking and visualizing thoughts and commands of God, giving Jesus the opportunity to carry them out through us to the glory of God. Again, all the different, no matter what the, all the different missions in the world. Sometimes you think, so-and-so raised up this mission. Oh, we started gospel. No. Jesus did it all. He did it all. So be careful. Don't give credit to man. Don't give credit to man. Oh, that mission. That's the one I support. That's the good one. That's the one this and that. Be careful now. Don't lift up man. You do a disfavor when you're lifting men up. He said, the only one to be lifted up, Jesus said, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself to lift him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw everybody to myself. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. These people here tonight, the song had gone out of them, you see. They hung their harps upon the willows. Maybe some of you tonight, you've hung your visions, your dreams, and your hopes upon the willows. You become discouraged, disillusioned, disappointed, depressed, whatever it may be. Maybe you've hung your harps, so to speak, upon the willows this evening. Then I want to encourage you here tonight, because the question we're asking, first of all, is what is your vision? If we have it back there that we can put it on, we'll put it on there. But what is your vision? What is the vision that is on your heart here this evening? What is the vision that God has planted upon your heart? I believe with all my heart tonight. The other night we spoke about holiness, about the vision of Isaiah. Isaiah 6, where it says, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the holiness of God. I believe, number one, we need a fresh vision of the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. We need a fresh vision of Calvary, the cross, the blood, the resurrection for you and for me. Give God glory and praise tonight. He alone is worthy. We need a fresh vision, because I believe if we have that vision of who God really is and the holiness and the righteousness that comes through the blood, the cross, and the resurrection, then we will give him honor and glory and praise, and we will not soon get past Calvary. I fear we get past the cross. But the greatest is the cross. Imagine this evening, you're with me. Vision illuminates our imagination. And I want us to tonight, picture, vision is maybe picturing ourselves doing something in places we've never been, with people we've never been, doing something we've never done. That's vision. Visualizing, hey, this is something God is visualizing and giving you, putting and planting into my spirit. Think about it tonight. Spiritual vision has a way of moving the heart of God, where God is able to do above and beyond what he ever asked, what we ever ask or even think. Ephesians 3:20. Vision is when we expect God to do the great and mighty things that we cannot do on our own. There was a pastor that came from Korea who was visiting a number of churches, and after he visited those churches, the pastor took him back to the airport. In fact, he was in the one home church especially, and the pastor took him back to the airport, and before they left, they went to visit a number of businesses from this church, businessmen. And on the way to the airport, finally, the pastor said to the Korean pastor, he said, "What do you think?" The Korean pastor said, "I've never seen so many people do so much without the help of God." "What are you saying, pastor?" He said, "Because everywhere we went, we would say this, and they said, here's how we did it. Here's how we grew the business. Here's how we did it. And then we did this, then we made this move. Then we did this. We were there at the right time to do this, and then we cashed in on this, and then it was all about we." But he said, "I didn't hear them say, and then we prayed, and then God moved, and God worked." Think about it tonight, that all we do, visions and imaginations, that exceedingly abundantly above that we could ever ask or think, it's all done to the glory of God. Created people have a creative nature that needs expression. God has created all of us, and we have a need to somehow express that creativity that God put within our spirit. Isn't it marvelous? He's created us in different ways, different gifts, different callings, and so forth, that he's placed upon our lives. I want us to look at that a little bit this evening. The callings that he places in our lives. God's goal, number one, God's goal. He has two goals, I believe, tonight. Maybe we'd say many, but God is calling us to himself, and then he wants to make us like himself. He's calling us to himself. Or if somebody said God calls us to himself, and then he calls us elsewhere. But God is calling us to himself so he can plant within us what he's created us to do to the glory of God. But you know, the things that we go through can sometimes rob. I don't know who's made this statement. I want to make the statement here tonight that somebody, I got it from somewhere, the price of greatness. You see, the song had gone out of these people. They just kind of gave up. God had spoken to their heart, but they're like, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It's not fair. There's things that have happened that are just not fair. And we're disappointed. We're discouraged. Kind of like throwing in the towel, so to speak. Somebody said the price of greatness and fruitfulness, as Brother Jesse was saying tonight, the price of greatness and fruitfulness is being obedient in the valleys of humiliation. Have you ever been humiliated? Three of you, or now there's 100. Anyhow. Humiliation. When it's humiliating and you're walking through something and it's humiliating to walk through that valley, and to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ as we walk through that. But if God is going to plant greatness in our spirit and fruitfulness, being obedient in the valleys of humiliation, the valleys of rejection, the valleys of pruning and purging, that Jesse was speaking about here tonight, the valleys of disappointment. Why? Because every one of us has a Jesus story. Many of you tonight, you have a story that Jesus would like to tell the whole world. He wants your story to become the platform of which he can reach the brokenhearted, the sin-scarred. What does God do? God takes a mess and he touches it with a miracle, with redemption, with the blood of Jesus. He restores us into a right relationship. He makes beauty out of the ashes of sin. And that becomes heavenly manna that he wants to feed through us to a discouraged, brokenhearted, sinful world. God is saying, I want to minister through you to others. That's what he wants to do. That's part of the message that God has for you and for me. And tonight, there's some verses of scripture. The one, of course, tonight I could think about this evening would be in Acts also, when we think of vision. The different scriptures in Acts chapter 2, where it says there, in the latter days, what's God going to do? He's going to pour out his spirit upon flesh. This is revival. He said the young men are going to have visions. The older men are going to dream dreams. God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I believe we're seeing that even in these meetings right here, where God is pouring out His Spirit upon people. The question is, what will we do? What will we do with that? Will it be a fire within us that burns, that has a zeal and a passion? I think today there's a passion, there's an unction that we're losing, a unction of first love in our lives. I fear for that. My life and all of our lives here this evening. And maybe there's that fear of failure, but in Acts 26, Paul said in Acts 26, 19, I was not disobedient to the heaven, to King Agrippa. I was not disobedient to the heavenly. Say it. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What about each one of us here tonight? Are we obedient to the vision that God is placing within our spirit? There's a question I want to ask you here this evening. What are the dreams of your heart? What would you do if you had no fear of failure? What would you do if you had absolutely no fear of failure? What would you do? If you had all the people, all the proceeds, all the material, everything you needed to fulfill the dream of your heart that matches the Word of God, what would you do? Now just think about it tonight. Everything at your fingertips, what is it that burdens your heart that you'd say, here's what I would do? That also touches the heart of God. What would you do? But friend, somebody has said this statement that the richest place in our communities are the graveyard. Why? Because many people are leaving this world, talents, gifts, abilities, the things God placed within them still has not come out of them. That is still there. Maybe it's because of fear of failure. In Matthew chapter, just look at Matthew chapter 25 real quickly. Matthew chapter 25, you have your Bible with you in verse 23. And where he came and he gave these giftings and talents to the different ones, 1:10, 1:5, and 1:1. And when he came back, the one that had 10 had gone out and he had utilized that. The one that had 5 did the same thing. He came to the one that had 1. And in verse 25, he asked him why he didn't use it. And he said in verse 25, verse the first 4 words, I was what? I was afraid. I was fearful. I couldn't do it right. Somebody else can do it better. Friend, are you sitting here tonight and God has spoken to your heart? He's laid some calling, something on your heart, but you said, you know what? I just can't do that. I'm not equipped to do that. I can't. I think somebody else can do it better. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. I want to encourage us tonight, the giftings that God places in our heart, He's asking us to be responsible. Now, you and I, it'd be like, you know what? I can't do it like so-and-so. But what the Lord says is, you make yourself available and I will equip you. I will enable you. I will give you the grace to carry that out to the glory of God. What was the punishment? He said in verse 28, take that talent from him and give it to someone, the one that has 10 talents. He said, everyone that shall be given, hath shall be given, have abundance. Of him that hath not shall be taken away. Look at verse 30, but cast the unprofitable servant. He was a servant. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That talents that God has given, unused talent. You see the giftings, the calling that God had placed upon his life. And I'm going to share with you tonight, friend, the callings that God places on our life also matches how he created us. It matches how he designed us. The callings he places, you see, meshes with what he has placed within us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not calling us to something that he's saying, I cannot equip you for this. But he will equip us for what he calls us to do. The fear of failure. Christ, all through the scriptures, he gave commands. Let me just share just a couple real quickly. But in Matthew 28, when he said, go out into all the world, what are some of the commands of Christ? To be faithful. In Matthew 7:12, he said, do unto others as you would have that others would do unto you. In John 13, he gives command that we should love one another and gives us examples there. Matthew 25, I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison and all of these things. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. Those are commands that God is giving to us, opportunities that God is putting in front of us to be able to meet and to help other people. 2 Corinthians 5, and in verse 18 and verse 20, he said, I am giving to you the ministry of reconciliation. You are my ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Every one of us. Friend, we're not all called to be an evangelist, but we're all called to evangelize.
Every one of us. And our daily, wherever we are, he said, you're my ambassador. You belong to me. I bought you. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verse 3, he said, God hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Can you imagine? He that is godly, he that is looking to God, he said, I've set you apart for me. I want you, young man. God has said, I've set you apart. I've watched your life. And he said, I like the good of God that is in you. You've yielded yourself to God. I've set you apart for myself. Oh, glory, hallelujah. What about you tonight? Has God set you apart for himself? Because he's saying, I delight in you. I've set you apart for myself. Men and women after the heart of God, has he set you apart for himself? But it says we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Christ, ministers of reconciliation. We could go on down concerning this, but what is your dream? What is your vision? I want to ask you this evening again, what is your dream? What is your vision? Let's go to the second one. And the second one. The first one is, what is your dream? What is your vision? By the way, if you've quit dreaming, quit visioning, I pray tonight. I ask you, been praying for you. I don't know you, some of you I do. But pray today, God, if there are those here, they've quit dreaming, they've hung their harps upon the willows, they've just kind of tuned out, that tonight there'd be fresh vision, there'd be a fresh passion that would come into their spirit, and they'd come and say, Jesus, it's not the way it used to be. There's things that have happened, and I has, as it were, hung my harp upon the willows. I've kind of given up. I've thrown in the towel. And Jesus is saying, come, I want to help you. I'm going to put within you again the dream to dream again, the spirit to dream again, and to have the visions again, to place them into your spirit. That's what Jesus wants to do. And then the next is, what do you cry? What do you cry about? By the way, may I say tonight, even for our thought of David, King David. David, he was raised to be a shepherd, but he was born to be a king. He was raised to be a shepherd, but he was born to be a king. I want to ask you tonight, what were you born to be? Are we living out what we were born to be? Friend, that is a huge, huge question. Are we living out what God designed and created us that he expected us to live out? Think about it tonight. David, he was raised to be a shepherd, be on the farm. I think back of my life, and some of you got that newsletter tonight, and it said about singing. I would have never imagined a little four-year-old boy, these children here tonight. I would have never imagined that God would let me fulfill a dream, having polio at 4 years old and one of six in our community in Hartville, Ohio. I don't understand how God let me walk out, the only one. Most of the others were crippled one way or another. I remember coming home, it's in that newsletter, I don't want you to read now if you have, but they would say, would you sing? Remember when I was paralyzed, on my right side, my daddy carried me into the hospital. But when I came home 2 weeks later, the paralyzation went away. And I come home and they'd say, could you sing? We'll give you gum or candy or something. And I would sing. I grew up in a family who always enjoyed singing. Mom enjoyed singing and so forth. And I can't go into detail for time here this evening. As I got older, I would have never imagined that God would allow me, not only in my head, but in my heart, to fulfill a dream that I never would have imagined could have ever happened. I give him all the glory, the praise, and the honor. I stand in awe. I stand in awe. Some of you tonight, God is fulfilling the dream that he's placed within your spirit, the vision he's placed within your spirit. Tonight, if you say it could just never work out, then I want to beg of you to at least give God another opportunity to say, God, I'm here, I'm yielding to you. Let me share, what do you cry about? In Psalm 126, and I'm not, just for time's sake tonight, again, I'm not going to turn to it, but it says there that they that weep, bearing precious seed, it said, they will come again with rejoicing.
The weeping, these people were weeping. David cried for the captivity of his people. I want to ask you this evening, what burdens and passions drive your heart to become broken? I believe what breaks the heart of God should break our heart. What breaks our heart here this evening? It was someone said, if you really want to know what's in a man or a woman's heart, find out what breaks it, what breaks your heart. When's the last time you cried over something? When's the last time something touched your heart that you became broken? And there's some things that maybe are going to be on the screen here I want you just to look at. It was Martin Luther who said, our life begins to end the day we become silent about the things that really matter. Our life begins to end the day we become silent about the things that really matter. What really matters to you? What matters to you? What would it be that breaks your heart? What would it be that touches your heart? What would it be? Think about it. What would it be that would break your heart? And there's some things I've written down here. Injustice. And I'm just going to name some. I don't know if we have it on here or not. Here it says, but injustice or racism. The poor, the innocent, the city, children, orphans, the suffering, the persecuted, the lost, the abused, the homeless, the sick, the widows, the crippled, those that are having abortions, the abandoned, foster children, down the line here this evening, those in prison. Is there something that burdens your heart? Is there something that breaks your heart? Something that you say, that just breaks my heart when I heard that. Does it really break our heart? What is it that breaks our heart? Because I believe tonight, again, that when it breaks the heart of God, it should touch our hearts the same way. And oftentimes, the things that break our heart, please hear me, friend, the things that break our heart and touches our heart is where God plants vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? The things that break and touch our heart is what He uses to plant vision in our lives and dream dreams in our lives. And it can happen even as a child. It can happen in our growing up. It can happen in our history. The things that happen and so forth. When I think of injustice and racism, Dave, I won't forget, in 1983, Rami Lauder, an ex-pro football player that was traveling with us, he got saved in prison, big guy, 6'4", 275. And I won't forget, in Macon, Georgia, one night where we go in with our young family, we want to get 2 hotel rooms. I will not forget that evening. I'm just sharing this with you tonight, friend, that God, we want to be aware how God plants vision in our lives for the future. He's speaking to us. But that night we went in, and when we went into the rooms, the gentleman at the desk said, I cannot rent him a room, 1983. I said, what did you say? I can't rent him a room. Rami, he stood there. He looked at me. There's a righteous anger that got up inside of me. I said, what did you say? Sir, I'm sorry. I just work here, but I can't rent him a room. I said, I don't believe this. I wouldn't get a room here. My life depended on it. I'm so sorry to see this. And I remember looking at Rami as we walked out of there. And I said, Rami, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. And Rami said, it's okay, Nelson. He said, this has been our history. This is what's happening to our people. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. I had no idea God was going to begin opening prisons and take us to Africa and do these things where God wanted us to be in time. But He's saying, I want you to feel something that you haven't felt before. I want you to feel the pain of those who have been unjustly treated. What about you tonight? That broke my heart. And now there have been times after that, Jesse, where we've gone places in Africa or even in prisons where I've told my dear black brothers, where I've said to them, you know what? I am sorry for what has happened to you because my forefathers were part of the slavery movement. So were yours, probably. That's why there's such anger and hatred in our world today. Some of us don't realize what some of their forefathers went through and the pain of rejection that they faced. I remember being in a church in Africa the first time that I shared that, and I said, church, I'm so sorry. You see, there's slave castles all over there, especially in Ghana, and to see what they treated and how they did those slaves absolutely breaks your heart. Like animals. I'm just saying tonight, things that break our heart, God uses to plant vision in our life. And God says, can I use you to help meet a need?
If it breaks your heart, then can I use you to help bring peace and healing to people's lives? But to say to those people there, I'm sorry for what happened to your ancestors and your families, and I'm sorry, the whole church, people just began crying. They just began crying and crying. You'd have thought, you know what? That was generations. But you know what? They still remembered. They still remembered. But tonight I'm just using that as an illustration. An illustration here this evening. Maybe for you here tonight, I'm not sure. I was naming the different things here this evening. But the poor, the racism, the innocent children, the suffering, the lost, the abused, the homeless, and so forth. And friend, may I say tonight, some of you sitting here and you've been abused, you've been rejected, you've been mistreated. But I have news for you tonight that if you've come to healing at the foot of the cross and Jesus has healed you, that is becoming the ministry for you to those who have not yet been healed. Do you understand? God wants to use the broken bread of our lives, and where He's brought healing, He wants for us to open up, and that becomes spiritual nourishment, broken bread and nourishment to those who have not yet been set free. That is ministry. From a mess to a miracle to a message. That's what He wants to take us from. What about you tonight? Things you've gone through. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you have been not yet experienced that healing through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I beg of you that tonight, by the way, 600 years before Jesus came, in Isaiah 61, it says He's coming to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, loose the bands, undo the heavy, but let their oppressed go free. He said He's coming to make beauty out of the ashes of sin, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the planting of the trees of righteousness, that God may be glorified. He knew. We're in a sin-scarred world. Hurt, pain, rejection, mistreatment, betrayal, all of those things. But He says, if you let me heal you, then He says in 1 Corinthians, then I want to use you with the comfort I've given you. I want you to comfort other people. Can I flow through you? But sometimes we're too busy. It's just my life. I got a thing. I got to be on the run. I got to do this. But Jesus said, I want to flow through you to heal the brokenhearted. Those who have been rejected, mistreated. I want to use you because God has nobody but the believers. There's no one else. So use our hands, our feet, our eyes, our mouth, our mind. That's the only thing God has to use here on this earth. I want to challenge us this evening. You know, even I was talking about the HIV clinic and those kind of things. The way those things got started. And I just say, oh God. Because when you're in those situations, we're holding babies that are dying, or you're on the floor and you're crawling with cripples because they're so crippled. Johnny Erickson came over to Ghana in 2000. And when she came there on a wheelchair, people had not come out of their little huts because it was a shame to come out and let people from America see cripples that were so maligned. They were walking on their elbows. They were walking on their knees till their knees had calluses. But when Johnny Erickson came over to Ghana and she was on that wheelchair and they saw her on television and they knew this is an actual real person that is worth something. By the hundreds, people come out into the villages out where you could see them. Wheelchairs, wheelchairs. The sad part was many could not sit anymore because they were so maimed. They did not have balance because of how their legs were and their arms contorted. They couldn't even sit. And it just broke your heart. Somebody said we have to touch the pain in order to really develop a vision in our heart. What touches you? What makes you cry? What makes you cry? When's the last time you cried because maybe somebody else was going through heartache and pain? Friend, this week, Dave, this week, people have been crying with other people. We've been weeping with those who are weeping because our hearts are broken. Because their hearts are broken. Families are shattered. Things are torn apart. Things are happening that you say, oh, God, I don't know what that's like, God. I don't know what that family's going through. Break our hearts, oh, God. Over what breaks His heart. What makes you cry? Or you cry. This has happened this week, and maybe I hope it's happened to you, where you're just on your knees and you're praying, and all of a sudden God gives you a vision of the resurrection and how one day he's going to take us to heaven and he's going to have us in heaven forever, and you just become broken, where you just weep for joy before the Lord. Give him glory and praise tonight. He alone is worthy. Amen. Where you just can't hold it. You just can't hold it anymore. And for joy, you just break out in joy. Oh, Jesus. Woo! Glory to Jesus. Oh, God, bring a passion. Bring a joy into us, oh, God. The joy of heaven into our lives. That he can bring some heaven to earth before he takes us to heaven. And the only way it is through you and me. That's what he wants to do. To the glory of God. I want to ask you tonight, what burdens your heart? And what do you cry about? I must move on quickly here this evening. The next question, what do you sing about? What do you sing about? What do you sing about? That's the next question that is on there. What do you sing about? What causes you to rejoice? Is it salvation? Is it heaven? Now I'm going to go to that scripture. I'm not sure what we have on here. But in Luke chapter 10, what was cause for rejoicing? David sang about the blessings of God. He sang when he remembered God's justice and mercy. What do you sing about? What causes you to express joy? The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Do you rejoice when someone comes to Jesus Christ? Does that bring joy to you? Friend, it says here in Luke chapter 10, and there in verse 20, 17 and 20, it said that God sent the disciples 70. They went out there and he said, go. And they went out, they were healing the sick and the blind and so forth and casting out devils. And they came back to Jesus and they were kind of like, Jesus, you should have been there. Well, it was actually Jesus in them that did what they did. But anyhow, and it was kind of like, Jesus, wow, the demons were subject to us. All of these things were happening. Jesus, they were so excited. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I would rather. That you would rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. Glory to God. I want to ask you tonight. Yeah, give him glory. Give him glory. I want to ask you tonight. Is your name written down in heaven? Nelson, how important it is it? It's the difference between heaven and hell. Is that important? The Bible says in Revelation 15, it says, whosoever's name, Revelation 15, 20, whosoever's name is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. I want to ask you tonight, are you born again? Are you saved? Is the blood of Jesus come and cleanse you? When were you born again? When were you saved? I had a lot of verses written down, but I can't cover them tonight. When Zacchaeus, Jesus said, today salvation's come to you. The Philippian jailer that Dave talked about this morning. And what must I do to be? Come on, say it. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in the household. And they were. In Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were saved in one day. When were you saved? When were you born again? The thief on the cross, he cried, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He got saved that very day. When did you get saved? Is your name in the book of life? Billy Graham tells a story. Billy Graham tells a story of Albert Einstein, the great mind. He tells a story of Albert Einstein, who was riding on a train one day, and Einstein on that train was riding along, and after a while, the conductor came to get the tickets, and when the conductor came, he saw Einstein was on his hands and knees. He was looking under the seat, looking for his ticket. He couldn't find his ticket, and the man said, it's okay, Mr. Einstein. We all know who you are. That's fine. And he went on, and he said, I'll be back a little later. A little later, he came back. Einstein was now behind the seat, under the seat, everywhere, looking frantically for this ticket, and he said, so, Mr. Einstein, please, we all know who you are. There's not a problem. We trust you and so on. He said, young man, I also know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going. To that, Billy Graham said to the luncheon group he was speaking to, friends, he said, I want you to see the suit that I'm wearing today is a suit my family bought me. They thought I was going to look old fashioned, so they bought me this suit. I'm wearing it twice. I'm wearing it for the luncheon today, and when I die, they're going to have this suit put on me when I die. But when I die, I don't want you to be thinking about that suit. I want you to think about this. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. Hey, glory, hallelujah. I want to ask you tonight. All of you know who you are. You know who you are. There's things I know about you tonight. I know tonight that one day you're going to die. I know tonight that one day you're going to an eternal destination. You know who you are tonight. I want to ask you tonight, do you know where you're going? Because you're going to die. I'm going to die. Where are you going to spend your eternity? Well, Nelson, I go to, no, 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 I wouldn't ask you to go to church. I didn't ask you if you were baptized. Thief on the cross, wasn't even time for baptism. But he was saved. Think about it. Jesus said, you're going with me. I'm taking you with me to heaven. Woo! Lord, I could love to preach on that right now. But anyhow, but tonight I want to ask you, friend, where did it happen to you? Where did you get saved? Where did you get born again? When did Jesus come into your life? And to add on top of that yet, to rejoice in that, the greatest joy. Jesus said, I would rather, over all the things, the softball, football, baseball, games, or hockey, whatever it is, I would rather you rejoice that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. If you're going to rejoice, do that. Do that. Hey, I'm glad he gave us emotions. He gave us emotions to use them in a proper way. I'm not saying it's wrong in the natural to clap, but I'm telling you, it's right in the spiritual to do that, because it brings honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I had time tonight, I would share this evening. You know, and even our daughters, you know, most of them got saved. Annie, Carol, Amy, and Emily, probably aged like 8, 9, 10 years of age. If I had time to tell those stories tonight, I would enjoy doing that, but time does not permit tonight. There's so many children this evening. Children, Jesus loves you so much. He loves you. Friends, when Jesus hung on that cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, with thorns upon his head, blood running down his face, blood running down his back, spit all over his face. They had also in Isaiah 50 plucked out the hairs on his cheeks. Look it up. He turned his cheek and they plucked out the hairs. Isaiah 50. And there he was, dying for you, dying for me, giving his life for you. He became the sacrifice for your sins, for my sins. And then they came before he died yet, even anyhow, but actually he had died already. Yes, because when they came, the two thieves had not died yet, and they broke their legs. But they said Jesus had already died. Then they took that big knife, and they put it in Jesus, and the blood came down. That was the blood from the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to wash away all our sins. In the Old Testament, they covered the sins. The New Testament, our sins are washed away. Friend, tonight, place your faith and trust. Yeah, give him glory. Amen. Give him glory. I remember my aunt being on her deathbed, Amish, and she loved the Lord. And I remember she saying to me in German, Pennsylvania Dutch, she said, can he really forgive us, Sam? She could only whisper, can he really forgive us, Sam? She would die the next day. English, she said, can I really be forgiven? The night before, she said to her mother, by the way, this is a mother of 8 children, age 48, dying. And she said, can I really be forgiven? Because the enemy was wanting her to think of her past. Because the night before, she asked her mother, which would be my grandma, in German, war ich ein gut Mädchen, wo ich klein war? Was I a good girl when I was little? Why'd she ask that? Because of the enemy. Telling her on her deathbed, you're not going to make it. Look at your past. I am so glad that God takes our past and puts it under the blood. He doesn't remember it against us anymore. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Yeah! I wish we wouldn't remember, Jesse. I wish I wouldn't remember the sin, the life of sin. But Jesus does not. And I said, Sarah Ann, do you really believe? And I read some scripture with her. Yes, yes. And then I said, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you who believe upon the name of the Son of God, that ye may hope you have eternal life. No. Am I correct? No. That ye may think you have eternal life. No. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe upon the name of the Son of God, his name is Jesus, that you may know you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It is not hope so, maybe so, wish so. It is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He bought me with his own life on the cross. Friend, if you have doubt in your mind tonight, it's going to affect how effective we are as a believer in public. Do you know you're saved tonight? Well, I just really hope maybe I am. Bible says, by grace are we saved through faith. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. I want to ask you tonight, and before we draw to a close in just a moment, a couple more minutes. Tonight, you're not really sure. Remember the 84-year-old lady on a wheelchair years ago coming up front, did an altar call. Thought, what is this elderly lady doing up front here? Went down afterward, and we kind of asked why, and she said, no, I just really want to know that I'm forgiven because the enemy's just trying to say to me I'm not really a Christian and so forth, and oh, bless her heart. But she said, years ago, as a little girl, I know I came to Jesus, but now the devil's just saying to me I'm not. And then doesn't we just pray with her? And that peace, when Sarah Ann was prayed with that night, about an hour later, she went into a coma. And then hours later, she had her home going because peace came to her. Do you have peace in your heart that Jesus lives in you and that your name is in the book? I'm just saying tonight, when this invitation is given, maybe some tonight are saying, Nelson, I'm just not really sure. Be sure. Be sure. Just make it a point tonight to say, I want to make sure tonight. And I just want to come and just pray. The final this evening is, what do you pray about? What do you pray about? What breaks our heart should become the groanings of our heart. I'm not sure what all scripture. Let me just quote a few scriptures, and then we're going to draw to a close here tonight. What breaks our heart? The things we read, what do you cry about? Those are the things that should become the groanings of our heart. Oh, God, I have a burden for the refugees. I have a burden for the brokenhearted. I have a burden for those who have been abused. I have a burden for the widows. I have a burden for the poor. I have a burden for the lonely. God says, really? Do you really? Then if that burden is really real, can I use you to minister to them? May I say tonight, God moves us in the direction of our prayers. And if we're not praying, I don't think we're being moved. But if we really come to the Lord, God, this burdens me. This breaks my heart. Well, this is a burden on my soul. And something that also touches the heart of God. God is saying, it moves my heart too. Can we move together to meet those needs to the glory of God? And we stand in amazement at what God does. Can you give a wave offering? How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? And we're saying, Lord, I never imagined that you'd allow me, a child of God, to labor with you to meet other people's needs. Even when your own heart is broken, Brother Dave, even when your heart, run with patience the race that is set before you. Somebody said that is saying you continue to run with a heavy heart. Somebody else has said that means you contribute to the joy of others while your own heart is broken. You contribute to the joy of others while your own heart is aching. But God moves us in the direction of our prayers. He moves us in the direction of our prayers. And there I just could remember Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Just acknowledge him. Lord, I'm acknowledging you in my life, and I need your direction in my life, Lord Jesus. There's, though, like Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask and shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. But he said, if you're not going to ask, you're not going to be given. If you don't seek, you're not going to find. If you don't knock, the door will not be opened unto you. He said, you're going to have to ask. You're going to have to knock. You're going to need to come before me. When you do, I'll open doors that you would have never imagined that I could open. And then we stand in awe and just say, oh, God, God, it's the greatest honor in the world to be laborers together with God. There's no higher calling than that. So many other scriptures. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Send forth laborers into his harvest. And just tonight again. Many scriptures that move us. God moves us in the direction of our prayers. He does that when we come and open our heart to him. And I'm going to say tonight, maybe those here this evening that are saying, oh God, some of that passion and that vision, that dreaming has gone out of my life. And life is just kind of commonplace. Maybe mediocre, lukewarm. By the way, lukewarm is nauseating to God. He said, you either be hot or be cold. Just don't be lukewarm. If you're cold, everybody will know you're not on fire. And if you're on fire for the Lord, people will be able to tell you're in love with Jesus Christ. You love him. You adore him. You worship him. And our public life becomes an expression of our private intimacy with Jesus Christ. 1996, I'm going to close with this tonight. 1996, Brother Jesse. Church here in Lancaster County. International ministry had not been opened at that point. And there was a song in the back. We were there to sing that morning, Grace and Truth Church. I was standing in the back, and there was a song that started to be played. It was a group called Harvest, I think. They began to share this song, and I stood in the back. I want you to see the words. If you have them back there, that you can show the words to this song. I was going to play the song, but if we can show the words here tonight. The song said, if we don't believe, just very slowly, people are crying, children are dying, who don't even know. We're killing by millions, brothers and sisters. Our hearts are so cold. While Christians are sitting, talking about heaven, and when will they go? The world and its people move faster and faster to a living death below. If we don't believe, how will they know? How will they hear if we never go? Oh, Lord, send us to the world. Send us to the world. When that song was being played, I see it like it were yesterday. It goes on to say, if we don't believe, how will they see? How will they know that they can be free? I think I have the words up here if we don't have them there, okay? If we don't believe, then how will they see? How will they know that they can be free? Oh, Lord, send us to the world. If we are the light, then what right do we have not to go? He's given us power to conquer the hour. So why don't we go? He's called his soldiers, given us orders to tear down the walls. We'll sing and we'll shout. As we go about telling them about the Lord and offer them to the Lord. And then it goes on, if we don't believe, how will they know? And it continues on. How will they know if we never go? I stood in back of that church and I opened my arms. Nobody could see me but Jesus because I was in the back of the church. And God broke my heart. I said, oh God, I don't know what this means, but I'm here for you, Jesus. I don't know what this means, but I'm willing to go. And I prayed that prayer. Within a year, we were heading across the water. I would have never imagined these past 25 years. I've never imagined. I stand in awe that Jesus would trust me, that he would trust me. So far from perfect, here by his grace. So many of you have been a part of it, and God has trusted so many of you. And you've been amazed. You've been amazed at what Jesus has done. And you just give him awe and glory and praise. Many times I stood over there in places, in medical clinics, in refugee camps, and your heart is just broken. You're saying, Jesus, I don't know what to do next. But help us to know what step to take here. It's overwhelming. But we have to remember that we're obedient to the call, not the need. It's the call that he lays on our heart. The needs are going to always be there, but it's the call. Let's stand together tonight.